All right, success this time. This time we're all in the same Zoom room, which is always the best option to just all be in the same room because Austin and I can get carried away in conversation waiting for everybody.
Sometimes I want a room by myself, honestly, without my kids in it, but maybe that's just me.
Yeah, no kidding. Margaret, were you saying something?
Yeah, you're in the library. It still has the countdown saying that it's in an hour, so it didn't adjust to
The time didn't adjust.
Yeah, so the email came through, the email reminder that said in an hour. But then when you go into the library to click the link, it's still counting down as if it would be another hour. So I had to go check my phone to make sure that it's going to be 1 o'clock your time. So the link worked. So that's how I know that's right. But the library still is counting down.
It's
I
amazing to
also.
me.
Sorry, I also went there and I was confused, but I thought, oh, it's always been at 11. I'm just gonna click now. And here I am.
Yeah. Okay, good. Thank you for that. It's amazing to me how many things have to come together for this to work. It shouldn't be this hard, but yeah, some of these apps, when they work, and sometimes with a something like a time change, just throws it completely off. So thanks for letting me know, guys.
I'm usually confused if Zoom works the first time. I assume I've done
Right?
something wrong.
No kidding. Cool. Well, Austin, I'm going to turn it over to you. We've got the recording started already, so we're good to go. And it's good to have everybody back, by the way. So after a couple of weeks off, or a week off last week.
Yeah, you all kind of know the drill at this point. We welcome questions. Also, if at this point, you have something ready for us to review. We have a small enough group today where someone can hop on the hot seat if you want to. While you all are gathering your thoughts, I'll share a very quick story. So, right before I left for spring break, I went to, I don't, maybe I told you this. I don't think I told you this last time. Stop me if I did, but I went to a 40th birthday party for a friend, saw another friend while there. We got to talking about business stuff because he has an agency. I'm a consultant. Anyway, he got really interested when I started talking about being a fractional CMO. And so he texted me the next day and he said, "Hey, are you by chance able to grab lunch? I'd love to hear more about this whole fractional CMO thing. Like, what does that look like for you?" Right. And one, I have had a lot on my plate because we were about to leave town. And two, I know this friend well enough to know that he was like, given the opportunity, he was really going to pick my brain. It wasn't just going to be a few casual questions. It would be like, "And how do you phrase that? And like, what do you charge?" And like, I just know this friend. Right. And so I was like, "Well, hey, I'm headed out of town. I can't get together for lunch, but when I get back, we should talk about doing more of like a paid formal session where we help actually sketch out what this offer might look like for you." And then I said, "You can tell me whether or not you think that's worth it." He was like, "Yeah, I think that would be worth it." And because he's my friend, I'm going to charge him $500. Like I'd go out to coffee or lunch with him, but if he wants a little bit more of my time, sure. So that's still well below what I would ordinarily charge if I didn't have a relationship with that person previously. But I just wanted to point that out as like we talked last time about your growing vision or awareness and finding these opportunities, seeing these opportunities when they happen, doesn't mean that you always have to look for a way to shoehorn in a project fee. Sometimes you just help people because they need help. But sometimes, especially based on, previous relationship, if you know someone, friend, family, colleague, maybe someone that you would only work with if they were paying you, and otherwise you might steer clear, right? Based on previous relationship, it can make a lot of sense to say, oh, I'd be happy to get together and guide you through a paid formal road mapping session or content planning session or whatever. So just wanted to share that to say, these opportunities are all around you, and they can happen in a text message, right? They don't even have to happen like over email. So keep your eyes peeled, because it's noticing them, and then it's having the right language when someone asks to pick your brain. Hey, can I bounce some ideas off you or whatever? Like, we're all familiar with that. And I got to the point, and I've probably joked before, my brain was picked bloody. I did not want anyone to pick my brain anymore, right? It had scabs on it that needed to heal. That's a terrible image. I'm sorry. But anyway, have any of you started yet to notice these opportunities? Just someone who wants a thought partner, who wants, they wouldn't call it consulting, but who's asked to pick your brain. Has that happened for you all yet? Would you be willing to share, Robin, just like what that experience was?
So I actually did a session on Tuesday. I belong to the National Speakers Association, the New England chapter here, and they were doing a live auction. And so I decided, this was before the course even came up and into my view, I decided to offer a strategy session for creating book ideas and story ideas, because they're all speakers.
Nice.
And I valued it at $600 for a 1 hour, for two half hour sessions. And two people actually bought it while they were competing back and forth. But they waited till the last day of the auction, so they got it at a really good price, like $120. But we had our first session on Tuesday. And I asked her why she bought the program. And she said that just the whole title and everything intrigued her. She already has four books. She has two guidebooks. She's got all these projects coming up. And when I asked her what exactly, you know, I could help her with, the whole thing is that she would like an editorial calendar put together. So that came out of that. So that's what we're going to work on in April.
Nice.
I actually did a writing, because I do writing. So I did a writing practice session with her for 5 minutes, and I had her brainstorm on paper what the titles were that she wanted for her articles and her other projects, or actually for marketing titles, I guess. And I did the same thing. And then I had her read hers out loud, and I read mine out loud, and she really liked the ideas that I came up with. So, and she said it was well worth it. And then she asked me how much I would charge if we were to continue. And I said, my prices start at $1,000 for 90 minutes.
I love it. They do now, at least, right? Yeah. As of this moment.
Well, I mean, that's what I was charging for tech writing and articles as well, for discovery sessions. So I figured, why not?
Why not? And that why not, right? And we can talk more about marketing later. I think that's in session 5 or session 6. My memory is a little bit fuzzy, but we'll talk about marketing and creating more opportunities, right? But if you have ample opportunities, then you can afford literally to be more experimental, and you put a price out there and just see how the other person responds to it. A couple things worth noting. One, editorial calendar. It's yet another example that you don't have to call it strategy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, people will always tell you what they want to buy and how they want you to sell it to them if you listen carefully. So right. The last thing you should do if someone is like, hey, I want an editorial calendar, say, hey, would you like a strategy session? They're like, no, I want an editorial calendar. Right.
So right. Strategy... And I was surprised, because I sold it the whole package as a strategy for getting your book ideas and story ideas. And all she wants is an editorial calendar out of it.
And you're like, great. So that was the second thing earlier this year. Again, a friend that I have worked with on and off over the years, and honestly have learned to like always kind of proceed with caution. He's not a great communicator, and sometimes I've found out their expectations I knew nothing about and certainly wasn't contractually obligated to meet, but it hurt our friendship then. So this time he came back around, he was like, "Hey man, I'd really, he wants to write a book." So I sold him a $2,000 package that included meeting for 90 minutes. Guess it ended up being 2 hours. Again, if you're paying yourself well, you don't have to keep that close an eye on the clock, right? But it was, "I'll help you outline your book. We're going to do some brainstorming. You know, we'll do some mind mapping with your ideas. I brought along sticky notes, right? I made it more tactile, more analog." We did it in person, right? You could do it on Miro, M-I-R-O, if mm-hmm. the client is remote, or even I'm sure Google has a free tool, right? But just some brainstorming. And then, you know, I actually took a process from Chandler Bolt's book, Published. I forget, it's like chapter 2 or chapter 3, just his process for brainstorming. I use his exact process. It's not that sophisticated of a process, but some people really struggle to get their ideas and, you know, discrete topics for a book down on paper. So this is a whole other thing that clearly, you know, there's demand out there, even from, to Robin's point, people who've already been published 4 times, right? I still want help getting my ideas down on paper, organizing them, whether it's organizing them into a book outline or organizing them into some sort of editorial calendar. So, and then the last thing was, this friend, he knows nothing about email marketing. So $1,500 to help him outline his book. And then I charged him another $500 to set up a ConvertKit account for him and then create a landing page and then create a simple checklist. And in fact, my assistant did all of that. So I didn't even do any of that, right? So it was like kind of cool to help my friend. Like, he would not have momentum now. So it was very much worth it to him. He got the value. But it was literally meeting on a Saturday morning before the two of us went to our daughter's basketball game, right? Having coffee and helping him outline his book. It was effortless for me. So there's just that big blind spot we have. If things are easy for us, we feel weird about charging a premium for them. But I'm telling you, the deeper I get into strategy, the more I should be focusing on things that are a lot closer to playing in a sandbox than they are like moving a pile of rocks, like hard work, you know? Okay. Questions. And Marina, I'm glad you joined us. I don't know if like the challenge with Zoom and times and calendars tripped you up. But we're all here now. That's what matters. Okay. Who has a question? Don't make me talk this whole time.
No, I have a question then based on what I just talked about.
Great.
Okay. So the question is, I told her $1,000. I know she does for 90 minutes. I know she doesn't have 90 minutes together based on what she's doing. So I'm thinking giving her the opportunity to have 3 half-hour sessions, which she seems to like.
Mm-hmm.
Do I charge $1,000 up front, or do I try to do it like $300 a month for her?
All up front.
Okay.
That way, if she cancels one of those 30-minute meetings, you're not, you know, like chasing her around trying to get her to reschedule so that you can get paid. And right. I would also, this contradicts something I said earlier, but I've just found that I kind of hate 30-minute meetings because they always seem to, the hour already kind of feels taken in a way. So when you do book that 30-minute meeting at the 25-minute mark, I would say something like, okay, as we close down today's session, like have a clear transition so you can end right at 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So that you're respecting your own time. And I'm contradicting myself because earlier I'm like, hey, always be generous with your time. right? But there's something about 15, 20, and 30 minute meetings. They always seem to bleed over and eat up the whole hour. Even if you do the mode switch, you know, context switching thing, where now you're trying to get back to your email or back to another task. It's like, yeah, you can really only do about one big thing per hour. So maybe be a little bit stingy or a little bit more rigid with protecting that time boundary with 30 minute meetings. But for all I know, all of you are great at that. And I'm the only one who's like a pushover when it comes to not ending on time. Okay.
Hey, Austin, before we get to Marina, I had something to add for Robin. I know, Robin, that, you know, you want to put boundaries in place in specific time increments, you know, 90 minutes, 30 minutes. But I would caution everyone to not emphasize the time. Make that a logistical thing and really emphasize the value. So for instance, and I maybe didn't express it this way to her, but I wouldn't tell a prospect or a client, okay, so my fee is X for 90 minutes. I would say my fee for this content planning workshop is X. It involves A, B, and C. And in the A, B, and C, you talk about the time just to make sure we understand and agree about the parameters. But just be careful in how you frame it, because the way the human mind works automatically is to do the math.
Doing the math. Right. So good.
And it's like, wait a minute. So I'm going to pay you X amount per hour. I don't even pay my attorney that, you know, and you don't want to go there.
Yeah. So, she did ask me what was involved in it and what she got for that money. And so I explained, you know, all the things that she got, the time we got to spend together, the reports that I would give her in the end, copies of the recordings, you know, and the list just went on. So
perfect. Yeah. So focus on, first you're going to get, like Austin says, right, that clarity, the confidence, the traction. You're going to have something you're confident is going to work, and it's going to give you the results you want, which are A, B, and C. You know, you're going to get 3 30-minute sessions with me. You're going to get this report. You can, and then, you know, you mix it in. You kind of mix it into this bucket rather than. So always start with value, and then like a reverse pyramid, right? And then logistics somewhere in the middle or the end.
That's a really good point, Ed. Like, you're selling the outcome, not the process. If they ask questions about the process, the delivery mechanism, so to speak, you can answer questions about that. You could even say one longer session or three shorter sessions, depending on how the scheduling works out, right? So you're just 100% correct that people's default is, how do I divide $1,000 by 90 minutes? Wow.
I know, and I'm sure she was thinking it was more money than the 600 that I said as well. So
right.
But you raised your prices, right?
Well, I mean, she asked me what my background was, so I gave it to her, and what I told her, I'm definitely worth a whole lot more than the $1,000 anyways. But what if she wanted to, what about offering her a retainer option as an ongoing, if she commits to 3 months or 6 months? I think that's more what she was looking for.
I would do it after the first one. When you're both very satisfied with how it went, just be like, hey, I thought that went really well.
That's what she said to me when we finished the first half hour last week.
Oh, sorry. I meant the first full priced one, not the first auction one. So once she's even accustomed to paying the higher rate, then you're like, hey, I thought that went really well. And why don't we go ahead and do this once a month? You know? I'm happy for you though, because it's like you sort of uncork the champagne and then all of the good stuff comes out, right? Okay. Marina, I've got an interest in a wayfinding session, and now I don't know where to go from there since I've done this out of order paralysis. Will you explain a little bit more about getting it out of order and where to go from there?
Yes. So I was talking to new-ish clients and was trying to pitch them on. So I'm a scientist and I do research communication workshops for scientists and medical researchers, how to like better communicate your work to the public or to your audiences, in addition to doing communication strategy and copywriting and all that stuff. So I was
Cool.
originally trying to sell her on a workshop, and then she told me what her budget was, and I inside laughed because I was like, there's in my head, they're not going to pay for a full out workshop. So then I heard her say that they don't even know what kind of workshops to offer because they're not getting good attendance. And so I kind of started to ask her a couple of strategy kind of questions there, wayfinding questions, and offered up a little sprinkle of an idea to see if she would be interested. And she was. She reacted very positively. She's like, "Oh, you're really good at this." And I said, "Well, we have clarity wayfinding sessions if you want to sit down and just get in a room and just brain dump and just get some clarity on this." So I was like, I just decided to try and sell this session. And she said,
That's how it happens. You just almost like improv, where you're like, oh, I guess I'm
Exactly,
pitching this right
100%.
now.
So she said, "Oh, yeah." And I said, "If you're interested, I could send you some more information," knowing full well that I didn't have anything prepared. I mean, I'm keeping up with the coursework, but I don't really have anything yet. So she said, "Yeah." So great. Now what?
Okay,
Now I'm like, "Oh
so.
God, I don't have anything. What do I do? What do I say? What do I put in? What do I, you know?" So hence the paralysis.
So, I would say open a new note on your computer right now.
Okay,
And
got
let's
it.
just brainstorm some stuff, right?
Okay.
Now, you've already made a good start because she asked for more information. So first things first would just be saying to her again what you already said to her. Hey, I heard you say that you've got multiple ideas. So the first thing we would do is just put all of your ideas out on the table. And then the second thing we would do, and I'm going to process, but we'll skip back up to bold promise and key outcomes in a second,
Okay.
right? So the first thing you do is like step one would just be, hey, let's gather your existing ideas. Step two would be let's also capture any new ones that we come up with together. Step three would be let's go ahead and force rank your best ideas based on criteria that we decide on together, right? So I was doing this with a client on Tuesday where we were creating a strategic plan, and we were talking about, hey, urgency of these different ideas, importance of these different ideas, and potential value. And so if you give like a 1 to 10 score for each of those, we could come up with a composite score in all three of those areas and try to find or like rank the best ideas based on their scores. Right. And then we'll know what to put in our strategic plan. So you could help her do something similar with her ideas, like, hey, how popular a topic or how hot a topic is this right now for your audience? Give it a score. Like, so you could do that with 10 of the ideas right in the workshop. Right.
Okay.
And the idea, like, this is a very simple thing, right? That you'd come up with two or three criteria and then assign a numeric score to ideas. This is not revolutionary. But most people would never do this on their own, right? But it gives you a way to kind of quantify the potential of any one idea. And then because you're doing this in the middle of the workshop, they're like, oh yeah, like she's just helping me pick my best ideas, right? Now, then, depending on what you want the outcome of this wayfinding workshop to be, you could go several directions from here. You could take the best idea and actually flesh it out and create a plan for one idea. And I'll bounce it back to you, Marina. Did she give you any indication during this conversation what a really valuable outcome would be?
So not really. So I asked her, so they do professional development workshops for graduate students at a particular university. And I did ask for her to tell me, well, what's been most popular, what's been least popular. And so we understood that workshops that had like an immediate deliverable attached to it that was like very relevant to people, to the attendees, were better attended than brought. So I was already doing some of the strategy work, honestly, in this
Costco model, free sample.
That's right. So, you know, I think that they want, so the best outcome, she didn't explicitly say it, but I think they want people to attend their workshops. That would be.
Okay. Bingo. Right.
Yeah.
So the promise, and this would change based on the next wayfinding workshop. It goes back to what I said earlier. People will always tell you what they want to buy and how they want you to sell it to them if you listen carefully. So I'll often take a strategy offer or some sort of wayfinding workshop offer or whatever. I already have like the generic vanilla version, but right before I turn around and sell it to someone who I think needs it, I might tweak bits and pieces to use their language. So I'm not selling them a generic outcome. I'm selling them the outcome they mentioned. Right. Mm-hmm. So in this case, you're like, hey, what we're going to do is take your best performing or best attended workshops to date, try to draw principles or like a structure out of that for future workshops. And then we're going to refine that together so that you walk away with a plan for workshops that based on all of the insights you've gathered to date, your future workshops, you know, the new baseline will be the most successful workshop you've had in the past, right? Nice. So
yeah, that's nice.
In this situation with wayfinding workshops, sometimes I give my clients an assignment or pre-work. Sometimes I don't. In this case, you might actually say, hey, I want you to go back and like look at registration numbers, or whether it was virtual on Zoom or whatever, just go back and look at your numbers. And I'd like for you to show up to the workshop, being able to tell me what the three most well-attended ones were, right? So another key step in your process for this wayfinding workshop could actually be like almost like light analytics, where you're just looking at the workshop and saying, well, what does the success of this have to teach us about what people want? Oh, clearly it needs to have like a clear tactical takeaway, you know? So yeah, go for it, Marina.
So because they also will have survey data from students about what they want in a workshop. So my question is, are we doing this, like my analytical portion, am I doing that outside of the workshop too? And if so, am I doing that in advance of the workshop or after the workshop where I've gotten their responses and then I'm looking, doing my own analysis of whatever data they provide?
So this is a situation where you could make it a sandwich, right? Mm-hmm. And I know Ed does a little bit of this where you could do a shorter session followed by some like digging, you know, some sort of data archaeology on your own, right? Then you kind of like put finishing touches on everything in the second session. That being said, I've also done it where if I know that I need to spend a little bit of time kind of familiarizing myself and gleaning insights of my own, I might say, hey, send me your survey data in advance. But again, they've already paid. So you're not working for free here. Right. That's why I like to get paid in advance, because I want to show up and I want them to be like, not blown away by my performance, but blown away by the value of the experience, right? Here's the secret. They could do this on their own at any time. I mean, why haven't they already done this? Don't they want their things to be well attended? Well,
right. I hear
most
you.
Organizations are running and gunning and they're not truly strategic. And so that's why we can sell strategy, because most organizations are not truly strategic, right? So if you think you will be more confident showing up to facilitate a wayfinding workshop, if you have like these insights in your back pocket, well, hey, based on what I saw in the survey data, what your audience wants most from you is X, Y, Z, A, B, C. So even though you think these would be your next best workshop ideas, I think we should listen to your survey responses. So it just kind of depends. Like, I don't think there it's right or wrong to do it beforehand or meet, do some work together, stop, you dig into survey responses. Then you meet again. I don't think it's right or wrong. I think it's a both and. It's like, do it one way once, see how it goes, do it the other way the next time. But
yeah,
I
and
bet,
maybe
one more thought. I bet the biggest value they will experience is having someone else dig into survey responses and give the insights to them on a silver platter. No one likes doing that unless someone's paying me, and then I'm happy to spend, you know, pour myself another cup of coffee. I'll look at your survey data, right? So what do you think? Or what
I think that sounds, yeah, I think that sounds great. I'm thinking because they're kind of cheap, but I think that they will see the value of a strategy offering more than a workshop, like a content related where I'm disseminating information. And I'm thinking just in terms of selling, maybe it's better to offer the sandwich package. And then if they balk at that, then say, okay, we could pare it down. Just take what you have. And just get those ideas down on like the pared down 90-minute session where
I love where you're thinking,
just talking.
Okay. Right. I'll pare it down. Like, I mean, it was like the classic thing where if the client balks at the price, you're like, great, what would you like to remove from the scope? Like, yeah. You're not just going to get the same thing at a lower price. I'm not in the couponing business. Right. So I love the idea of leading with the two-parter. And then if they're like, oh, no, that's, we can't afford that, then it's like slightly reduced scope at, you know, a price that's really close to the original one. Right.
Hey, Marina, you know, like Austin said, I like doing the two-parter and I like to front end most of my stuff. So what I mean is send me all of that data because I need to be able to pour through it and process. I want to show up to that first meeting with first follow-up questions because I don't want to just charge in and say, here's what I think. No. Some follow. Okay. Here's what you said. Here's what you sent me. I have some follow-up questions just for clarity. And then we do brainstorming and then I offer ideas. I would like in that first session, because when I get to putting together my deliverable, if there is one, I don't want any surprises. In other words, if I haven't poured through that data yet, the survey data, I don't want to have surprises that we now have to address in the second call. So I want as much as possible up front so we can address everything, have those discussions. And then I use a second call more of a, all right, questions, concerns, thoughts, and then we can adjust. Mm-hmm. So it's more of an adjustment than, oh, shoot. Well, you know, we didn't talk about these survey results, but once I went through them, that changes everything. I don't want that to happen because it turns a second call into, oh, you know, now we're revamping everything. So now I have to edit my whole report and then maybe even have add a third call, which look, you know, I'm willing to do whatever because I'm learning, right? I'm trying to figure out the flow. But I'm finding that if we can front end load as much as possible, then the back end is so much easier. That's just the way you need to figure out how do you process information? You know, are you better? I think Austin is better like on the spot than I am. I actually don't give myself enough credit about, I think I am better than I think, but I'm more cautious. So I like to be more conservative up front and get as much as I can up front. And then I can react and as accordingly.
I am pretty good at improv, but I relied on that for too many years. It actually fed my anxiety. And what I've realized is that I come across as more authoritative in those sessions if my perspective or opinions are actually backed by the insights that I've gained from whatever material they sent to me in advance, right? And one last thing, and then I know we need to move on. If you do the one session, because they can only pay for the one session, there's absolutely no reason why you can't say, and hey, I'm going to send over this report or whatever. I'd love to actually go ahead and book, and speaking of 30-minute sessions, right? But let's book a 30-minute follow-up call, and let me just talk you through this, right? Because that's another sales opportunity. Once you've sold them the wayfinding workshop, there may be opportunities where they're like, well, hey, could you help us actually come up with content for these three workshops we want to do next, right? So after you've technically delivered on all the details of your strategy or wayfinding offer, you know, it's not, here's your report, see you later. It's here's your report, you know, and what are you going to do next with this? And they may realize they still need some help. Does that help, Marina, get you unstuck?
Yeah, a little bit? That helps. And I'm just going to use my normal SOW process instead of having like a separate, juicy offer page or whatever right now, since I don't have that yet. I can just talk through it with them and then just put details in like an SOW and disseminate it that way.
So you all may already do this, but sometimes when I send these strategy offers, I'll create a Loom video where I just talk through it. So if I'm delivering something over email, a document that could come across as really dry, and I want to make sure and layer that human element in on top, I will literally just have a little round photo, little round stream of Austin down there saying, all right, I know we already talked about this, but here's kind of the way wayfinding workshops work, right? And it's literally the exact same information you'd put in the email, but your personality comes through more that way. So that's flourish that you can add on top from time to time if you think it makes sense. All right.
Thank you.
Patricia, Margaret, Jim, there's some cogitating going on over there. I see it on your faces. Someone say something quickly.
Yeah. Well, this is kind of more of a general question. I could see opportunities in the past where I worked with clients that would have been fruitful. But just the whole kind of process, like, you know, from the consulting standpoint of listening and the Socratic method and everything. Do you have any resources that you would recommend that are good for that? Since I really haven't been through a lot of those type of sessions. I've done a few when I was in the corporate world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So let me go ahead, and I think this may be in the portal somewhere, but I'll just go ahead and drop it here in the chat so you all have it just in case it's not in the portal. But these, you know, I just call them consulting questions, but I love that you brought up the Socratic method. That's all this is. You know, I think about discovery before I sell strategy, and then strategy sessions themselves, I think about them as facilitating a process of self-discovery for my clients. Like, I'm just creating space. A lot of them could do it on their own if they slowed down long enough and asked good questions. But these questions are the ones I use. There are a bunch of other ones that bubble up in the moment. You know, someone says like, hey, you know, we really need all new web copy. And you're like, oh, well, tell me how you came to that conclusion, right? That one's not in this list. But
yeah,
this is why I'm convinced that introverts can be really, really good at selling strategy, because it's just about asking questions and then listening. And people actually feel like what they're saying is important if you take notes. So it's so crazy how you can build your authority by asking, listening, taking notes. And they're like, wow, you know, he really gets it. And you're like, well, you did 95% of the talking. How do you know if I get it or not? But check out these questions.
Okay.
These are in week two, by the way, guys. There's several, there's several PDFs there with similar questions.
Okay. I recall reading through that. That'll be helpful. Excellent.
And then I would also say, as you get more comfortable doing this, create a toolkit of your own questions. right? Because personality wise, there are ways that we ask questions that are just so, one I ask that is so basic, why are we here? And they'll give a very different answer than what they put in the initial email when they contacted me, right? And I'm like, well, you know, why did that change, right? So you'll find questions that have the phrasing that fits your personality, right? Or even your relationship. I just wouldn't say to some clients, what's up, man? What's on your mind? I would say that to other clients. So create your own toolkit of questions. It is still humorous to me that these consulting questions are one of the most popular things I have ever created. And I'm like, all I did was write down questions I've asked clients from time to time. So there's no reason you can't do the same. These are not brilliant. It's just a collection of questions designed to get people talking and eventually, you know, delve down to root problems. There's more money to be made selling into root problems than surface level problems.
That makes complete sense. And it'll be gain more confidence the more you do it and build and add to your question toolkit, so to speak.
Yeah. And here's the thing.
Okay.
Here's your homework. Can I give you some homework, Jim?
Sure.
I used to be a school teacher, so you'll have to, you take me out of the classroom, but you can't take the homework out of the teacher, right? I just set 15 minutes, and even without like paying too much attention to that PDF I just shared, just write down questions, like set a timer and be like, what questions do I think would really get to the heart of the matter? So kickstart that process for yourself. Okay. I'll answer Marina's question really quick because it piggybacks on what Jim just said. Are these questions for onboarding or are they for in session? They're both. Even when I have like a strategy session or a wayfinding workshop or whatever, sometimes you're in the moment and you realize because they say something, oh, I'm just nervous about going down that path. And you're like, that's interesting. Why are you nervous about going down that path, right? So these open-ended, I call them open-ended consulting questions. They're really just about bringing clarity, delving down into root causes, right? So these are helpful for friends going through painful things. These are helpful for discovery calls before you've sold anything. These are helpful for wayfinding workshops where money's already changed hands, you know? These are helpful for you've already, you know, it's been 3 months since you worked with the client. You're following up and you're like, hey, what's been on your mind? How's business? Right. I just use these questions all the time because they get conversations started. Okie doke. Margaret, Patricia, I'm putting you two on the spot.
I guess I can ask. So I'm new. And I think maybe this will be a great opportunity, maybe for if you were in my place now that I know that I can offer these sessions. So last week, Jim, Patricia, David, and I, we met to go over our juicy offers and they gave me feedback. And cool. So there may have been a moment during one of our other sessions or in the pre-recorded content where other people may have offered the strategy as kind of like the, what do you call it? It's like the first kind of required engagement or something. Mm-hmm. So, because I'm trying to think of this as I'm still building out my website. So mm-hmm. I was referencing the Lamplighter Agency website, and she has, you know, her content engagement or audience building, she has something else, and then she has like two strategies. So for me, I was thinking if I offered the strategy first, right? So as that, this is kind of like in order for us to have this relationship, it would really benefit us to have this clarity. Like I mm-hmm. want to call it a clarity session because mm-hmm. actually like I already had it in my copy because mm-hmm. I would like to help people in wellness and fitness and beauty. Mm. So it's like, okay, there's all this clutter. So you're going to clear it out with me. So I'm wondering if that would be, now that, if, you know, from all of these years that you were free, you didn't do this until more recently. So if starting now, how would you be able to highlight that strategies like the first engagement, and that from there, then there will be all of these other value, you know, other engagements of value? Is that too big to ask?
No, that makes sense. I would say a lot of it comes back to the language you use with clients, and just making sure that you throw light on the benefit to them. And by the way, I love the idea of calling it a decluttering session, right? I think that's some ownable language, but a content decluttering, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because people have an overwhelming number of ideas and they often don't know which ones are best. So in your case, you just say, hey, here's how I work with my clients. Step one, you book a formal paid decluttering session, or clarity and decluttering session, right? And in that session, here are the three outcomes. We identify your best ideas. We put them in order. And then we decide exactly how we're going to move forward with idea number one. I take it that if you were following Ed, then you're going to be doing writing of some sort, right?
Yes.
And so it's going to be health, fitness, beauty in that space. Great space, not going anywhere. There's a lot of money to be made in that niche. A lot of really cool people in that niche too. So I'm just like totally rubber stamp of approval on that niche, right? But then one other thing you could do that's very tactical, right? You could go and find 5 or 10 other writers who are focused on the same niche and review their web copy and look for the problems that they say they solve, right? A lot of people in the health, fitness, and such niche, the challenge for them is that they have to create so much content. So many of them, I mean, it's like a good niche to be in because the need is there, but sometimes people in that niche are like moving quickly. It's hard to pin them down. So that's one problem, right? It's like, hey, you know, a lot of people in this niche, they are always going, right? You're busy filming your next workout. You're not like, it's hard to be strategic. So when it comes to, hey, I'm new as a freelance writer, but I still need to speak authoritatively about the problems that my target audience has, go to other freelance writers' websites, figure out what problems they're selling into, what outcomes they're offering, and then just synthesize that, like familiarize yourself, get in really deep, right? And try to understand, like, oh, here's what these clients are up against, you know? And so that way, when you are putting together your, I call it like a roadmap. Like when I start with a new fractional CMO client, I have a pretty clear vision of what we would do together in month one, month two, month three, month four, right? So it always helps if I can go find other fractional CMOs and be like, well, what's their process? So look for the problems that your competitors, let's call them what they are, your competitors are solving. Look at any process they talk about and use it to create your own. And by the time you finish editing it, it will be totally unrecognizable. It's inspiration, not plagiarism, right? But that's the way I would go about it. But I think it's perfectly fine to just say, hey, you know, I start with all my clients doing this paid formal session, and here are the three key outcomes for you. And that sets us up really well to do this and this very soon afterwards, so that by day 14 of working together, you'll already have, you know, this blog post or these social posts or this email content or whatever that you're really proud of, that's on brand, in your voice, blah, 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 right? Which honestly is another thing that you could potentially include in something like a decluttering session is style guide. I don't know why more writers don't do that. Like, hey, when I start working with a new client, hey, are we using profanity in your copy? Hey, are there certain words and phrases that are very important? That's ownable language, part of your brand voice. You use this again and again, you know, good morning campers. Like, you know, maybe they always address their audience the same way, right? Lady Gaga calls her audience little monsters, which I think is hilarious, right? So even just helping them formalize different parts of their brand is a great way to like kick off an engagement with a new writing client. Maybe they have style guidelines, some sort of editorial guideline document already in place. Maybe they don't. But does that give you enough to go on, Margaret?
Oh, yeah. I really, what you were talking about going and looking at my competitors, because what I'm trying to do at the same time, because I also attended your Hectic.
Oh, nice. Cool.
So I, in building out the, you know, the what, like really thinking about how the business works, mm-hmm. what am I offering? How will my sales process, function? How would mm-hmm. it go? So, you know, so I'm before when I was just going to start, I was just going to throw all of the, yeah, I can write all the stuff. And then now it's like, okay, what are these outcomes? The transformation, I keep thinking about, like, mm-hmm. I want to offer the transformation because, like you said before,
sell we can story. Push out. Yeah.
Yeah. We push out all these deliverables that they said they wanted and then they're still unhappy. And I'm like, I don't really want that. So yeah. Like, let's, so being able to look at, you know, how are they solving other people's problems? And then mm-hmm. being able to understand my sales process. I went through the, you know, the, what you talked about, like adding a video to explain, you know, the report, like really trying to create that premium client experience that mm-hmm. you're saying. So like, if when they, in the initial look of my website already, that there's already like this process, like it's mm-hmm. not just like a one-time meeting with me, that we can create these engagements that could be longstanding mm-hmm. or at least convey a high quality engagement. Like when we talked last week, with Jim, Patricia, and David, like I kind of brought up like, well, what do we want these engagements to look like? And so that's mm-hmm. kind of like what I'm thinking about, because before it was just, oh, I'm just going to take the order, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's good to be more of the guide than the order taker. I will say, and this is like a word of caution, set a deadline for getting your website up and finishing it. Because I'm telling you, it's easy to get trapped into perfectionism mm-hmm. and think that incrementally higher quality with client experience or process or your offer or whatever, that's what's going to make you successful. No, what makes you successful is closing freelance projects, putting yourself out there. Right. And so I personally have that sort of artist and like almost scientist tinkerer mindset where I'll be in my laboratory just playing around with things, but I'm not spending the majority of my time on the things that are going to produce results. So What is your deadline for finishing this, the first draft of it, putting it out into the world, knowing that as soon as you get it out in the world, that's when you're going to get real feedback and right. be able to make meaningful iterations, improvements, right? So ultimately I'm like, hey, try to close your first freelance project, whether it's writing or strategy, as quickly as possible.
Okay.
And then you'll continue to refine client experience as you go. I'm always like, hey, I'm going to do whatever I can to win that first project. And then I'm going to try to make things so good for my clients that they never want to leave.
Okay.
All right, Patricia, you're welcome. You sold one. Tell us about that experience and hit me up with questions. I think everyone's had a chance to kind of get some questions answered, that sort of thing. You're the last one. So this had really better be good.
Actually, I think Margaret hasn't gone either, I don't think.
She just went.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. It's okay.
Margaret, sorry.
We have
I saw another name. I saw another name and I'm like, wait a minute, there's another Margaret here? My bad.
No, we're good. Everybody's good. But Patricia, you sold one. awesome.
I sold a branding guide as opposed to a branding session, but it's still sort of the same thing. But I was looking at some of your branding questions. And so I normally just walk them through a list of my questions, but I'm going to add some of yours, which is really great. So I do have a couple of questions about my offer. And so I've identified 10 clients or 10 people. So some of them are clients, some of them are prospects, some of them are just people that I trust, I know and trust. Mm-hmm. And in your, in somewhere, it says talking about 5 minutes. So do you actually call them and ask them, like walk through the offer with them on a phone call?
It depends on the situation, okay. Right? So remember, I'm almost always doing some sort of discovery call before I try to sell them anything.
Right.
So, and then I'll usually use some sort of intake questionnaire before the discovery call, so that when I show up to 15, 20, 30 minute discovery call, I already have context.
Right.
I can ask follow-up questions. And then we get to the end of that shorter discovery call. That's free. This is just good, my goodwill or good faith investment in the relationship. By the end, it may be clear to me, hey, 30 minutes of conversation about what your goals are, what your needs are, still haven't illuminated what the project even is. Or maybe it's clear to me what the project is, and what the project is, whether they would call it this or not, is some sort of strategy engagement.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I would still end the first call, send a recap email, typically just like with bullet points. And then and I can send you all an example of this. I don't think there's one in the pre-recorded training. Margaret saw one because she came to the, and by the way, if anybody wants to go to that, see the replay of the Hectic Workshop, it's free. So we can share around that link too. But all I do is say, hey, thanks for your time. You know, I just wanted to, here's the recap I told you I'd send, colon, bullet points. Here's what I heard. End the bullet point list by saying, is that accurate? Did I leave out anything important? Let me know. And if not, here's what I would recommend. And if I'm going to put together a bigger proposal, because going back to that diagram, the best entry points for selling strategy, sometimes they have clarity. And the best thing you need to sell them is what they ask for.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they don't have clarity. And that's when, instead of recommending that, you know, instead of my recommendation being I'll put together a proposal where I try to sell you on fractional CMO or whatever, copywriting, brand strategy, whatever, I might say, hey, let's do this initial session, right? That might be when I then attach the PDF of my offer to the recap email that comes after the discovery call, right? Okay. So it typically goes like this. In, you know, some sort of original connection, they reached out, I reached out, whatever, conversation has started. Let's hop on a call. Before we hop on a call, discovery call. So it's initial contact, intake questionnaire, discovery call, recap email. And then in the recap email in the second half, that's when I kind of decide, am I going to go ahead and offer strategy? Or are we going to go straight to a proposal? Now I have enough information to, you know, have good judgment there. What were you going to say?
So I think my question is the step before that. So the people that I'm looking to send things to, and I thought this was what you were asking us to do, is, you know, do up an offer, an initial draft, and then send it to some people. So I've got a couple of people that I have worked with before, or that they were their prospects and I've talked to them about projects, but they have not bought, that kind of thing. And just saying, would you be interested? I have a new offer I'm testing. Mm-hmm. So
I get what you're saying.
Is there enough? So sending them to them, sending the offer to them and getting some feedback, and then hopefully getting a client out of that because they think, oh, this is amazing. I think this is going to be, I need to have this. So is that an email just saying, hey, I value your opinion. I really want to see whether, you know, I have an offer. I'm testing it. Would you see value? Would you think that an investment of this price is good? You know, that kind of thing. Would that be a quick phone call with these 10 people, or would it be an email saying that and then attaching the offer?
Email saying that and attaching the offer. I was so long-winded.
No, that's fine, because that was also really good information, but I'm one step behind that.
I realize that you're talking about this sort of R&D process when you're developing your strategy offer. Yeah. It makes sense to get real feedback from people in who could potentially buy it. So yes, just send the email with the offer attached and say, I would really appreciate it if you would give me feedback on this new offer I'm developing. Yeah. And just leave it at that. And you don't even have to qualify it further by saying, is this something you want? What do you think it should cost? Just, I'd love your feedback. Would you take 5 minutes and give it a look and share your thoughts with me?
Okay. Thank you.
Sorry, I misunderstood you.
No, that's all good, because the other information was also quite good. So thank you.
Cool. I dropped an example of a recap email. And I will tell you that this recap email, I think it was like $5,875. I really like weird prices. They seem more trustworthy. But it resulted in a series of three separate strategy sessions that culminated in a messaging toolkit document that I created for this technology company. So the sales process works, and as humdrum as this email with its bullet points may look, I think repeating back what you hear the client say makes them feel seen, heard, and understood. So this is very effective. Like, wow, you're a really good listener. I'm like, no, I'm just a good note taker. Okay. I think that's gotten us to the hour. Thank you for all your questions. This is exciting stuff. I'm even really glad that some of you all are trying to make a point to get together outside of these sessions. Ed, closing thoughts?
One thing I'm going to challenge everybody. We got our last call a week from today. I'm going to challenge everyone between now and then, actually in the next couple of days, to think of something you could do between now and then that will really push you in this process. Everyone's in a different place and everyone has a different situation. You need to determine what that is for you. Something that maybe even scares you a little bit just thinking about it. If it does, that's your thing. Okay. And I want you to commit to doing something meaningful about that between now and next Thursday. It may be a small project, so you may not be able to complete it. But if you can get out of that project, it's got five tasks. If you could get three of them done, that would be fantastic. It's going to do two things. It's going to push you. I think you might be surprised by the results you get. Mm-hmm. And two, it's going to put you in a situation where you're going to have really great questions for our last session. Okay. So I want to challenge everyone to think about this, what this might be, identify it, write it down, and commit to doing it.
So good. What Patricia just talked about, finishing the offer and then asking real people for feedback.
It's a great example.
The first time I did that made me really uncomfortable, like gave me heartburn, dreaded it. So if you don't have anything more scary, I would say, can you find 5 people, 10, if you're an overachiever and just love discomfort, can you find 10 people who will give you meaningful feedback on your offer? Right. All right. I'll see you all soon. Thanks for showing up today. It's always good to be with you.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye-bye.